Today on the KHSU Magazine, HSU politics professor Kevin Lyle Murray is here to tell us about a voter registration forum taking place this Wednesday, April 18th at 7 p.m. in Founders Hall, Room 118. The HSU Political Science Department is sponsoring this voter education forum, which is open to HSU and Humboldt County communities, with representatives from various political parties answering questions related to the June primary and the November general elections. Welcome, Kevin Lyle Murray. Thanks for coming on the show.
Hi, thanks, Claire. Nice to be here.
Well, yeah, great to have you. So tell us, you're having this forum with representatives from just about every political party we can think of located here in Humboldt County. What are your goals for this forum?
Well, first and foremost, again, thanks for having us. We want to make sure that folks that live in Humboldt County and here in the HSU community have a chance to hear it from the actual representatives' mouths, so to speak. There'll be no filtering by us politicos, but rather you hear it direct from their leadership. So, for example, we'll have the Democratic leader, Bob Service, is coming. We've invited our Republican Party leader, John Schultz. We're also going to have the Green Party representative, Eric Ryberg, who coincidentally is also running for the Secretary of State for California. In addition, the Libertarian Party representative, Wes Martin, and finally, the Peace and Freedom candidate, Gloria Ruhl, who also is a candidate for the California governorship. And then finally, an umbrella group that helps represent the North Coast is the North Coast People's Alliance, and they'll also have a representative there. So it's a great mix of the political spectrum from A to Z, where the community can finally engage them directly and ask them about a plethora of challenges, both that are taking place nationally, statewide, and those specific to Humboldt County. For example, our pot growing issue and its environmental consequences, the lack of good health care up here because of the rural nature of our community and the comparative lower pay for doctors that can make more money in Southern California and in the Bay Area. And of course, we have an ongoing struggle with the homelessness and with the addiction issues. Again, all four of those are unique to Humboldt County.
Yes, yeah, they definitely are some serious issues. And there are a lot of uncontested races in June for important positions that do, you know, actually relate to some of the issues you were talking about, such as sheriff and district attorney. However, supervisors in District 4 and 5 and Superior Court justices are running races, contested races. So what do you, in your opinion, when do you think voters need to know about the impact of these positions in our community and what the different candidates represent?
Great questions. Well, as a reminder to our voters, you've got two elections taking place. One is the primaries in June, and one is going to, of course, be the general in November. So our hope is that by attending this presentation this Wednesday night, people can get a sense of all of the candidates that are up for the primary and general, and also some of the candidates that you just alluded to. You know, the county, by form of government, they're the one that dispenses so many of the services. So we really need to get a sense of what do these folks stand for. Now, at the county level and below, they're not permitted to put their party affiliation. When you get to the assembly level and above, you are. But clearly, people running for the county level are also often members of political parties. And if they're not, you can hear some of the rhetoric to identify which party or party leanings they may have. So really, the only way to get a sense of that is let's hear from their party leaders. And their party leaders, you see, each county has a party leader. Then they have these committees. Then you can actually join. And this is the first entry point that people in politics, if you want to get involved in politics, you start at the county level. So this is a chance to hear their leaders, learn about their meetings, and you can get a better sense of what are the sheriff potentially, is it a law and order agenda, or is it a more compassionate, let's take people where they are and help them resolve the challenges that we face in this very difficult, I would argue, challenged economy that's still broken since 2007. Or on the county supervisors, is it bringing more development as a source of new income, tax income? Or is it be careful to strike a what's called smart growth policies? So we're going to have to see where these county officials and sheriff officials are coming from. Now, we may not hear from them directly at this venue, but at a later date, we could also orchestrate something that might they could have their own direct voice. But in the interim, great opportunity to hear from the political parties that will still speak to these county level and law enforcement issues.
Well, it sounds really fascinating. Are your students involved in putting this forum on?
Good question. You know, I have 350 students every semester.
Wow.
Yeah,
oh, my gosh.
It's a lot of folks. But what I have encouraged them to do is they're going to attend this, many of them, some for extra credit, but for some is I tell them, you know, we learn things through the textbooks and through current affairs, and that's great. But let's hear direct from these officials. Therefore, there's no filtering. Now, I go out of my way to make sure that I promote both the right and the left ideologies and tell my students they have to make their own decisions. But this is what I call an unfiltered aspect or access to these officials. And then they can make their own independent decisions. So this is a chance for the leadership from these parties to really sell themselves. And let's see how they pitch themselves and really challenge them and not let them off the hook, whether it's left or right. Ultimately, I hope my students vote never the party line, but the issue. This is what I try to teach. And maybe this will give them an opportunity to make those kind of decisions.
So I looked at the ballot for June, and aside from some really important races for a variety of positions, so far there aren't a lot of measures on the ballot. It's just some school bonds and I think funding for the community healthcare district in Southern Humboldt. But will you be talking about Humboldt County's immigration sanctuary ordinance that may potentially be on the ballot?
It'll definitely come up at this forum, no question about it. And we're going to see which parties are comfortable with that and which are opposed to that. It's a complex issue. At one level, we all want to be compassionate human beings, and therefore that's why the sanctuary issue exists and will probably be adopted. At the other level, we want everybody, no matter where they come from the world, to respect our immigration laws and to conform to them out of respecting of our culture and laws. Now, DACA is an issue where so many, even some in the Republican Party, have said, no, we're going to give a pass to that specific audience because they were brought here against their will. And frankly, the only country they've ever known now is the United States. So I think you're going to find consensus on that. But will we find consensus on what does it mean to be a sanctuary city? Does that mean, I know we won't support the enforcement of the INS agents, or ICE agents now called, or will we play an active role in trying to block those efforts? So we'll have to define what it is to be a sanctuary city. On a continuum, how many pieces does that represent? So it's a very timely topic. And of course, this harkens back to our challenge of a broken economy. And people, most of us historically came to this country for the same reasons. Money, economy, and
Security.
The institutional corruption that we left from those previous countries, all of my ancestors.
It kind of followed us here, though.
Right, exactly. So we have to figure out how do we have reasonable border control while still being compassionate to our fellow human beings around the world. And I think that's what the sanctuary city is going to come down upon.
Yeah. Well, it's great that you're talking about that. So you mentioned the broken economy. As voters, what do we need to know to move towards fixing the economy or improving the economy in some way?
Well, it's a difficult process because what you're really describing is creating public policies that are in the public interest. But it's very difficult to have any public interest policies created when the only way to get into public office is you must accept private interest money. And as long as we don't have publicly financed campaigns, I would argue it will be impossible. Until you can get the money out of politics, politicians owe their loyalty to those who finance their ability to be in office. And in some cases, you can find a parallel between the public interest and these private interests. But in most cases, I would suggest, and if you look at the research and the legislation, it mostly protects private capitalist interests over the public interest. Now, don't get me wrong. Capitalism can be a wonderful thing. It can create jobs. It does create a tax base. But it also, there's always been a tension between capitalism and democracy. So what we've seen, especially with recent Supreme Court decisions, Citizens United, it's near impossible to truly have the public interest promoted at the levels that are required to replace the crashed economy until we can replace that with publicly financed campaigns.
And we've had ballot measures about that in the past as well, but it's just not something that has had any traction so far in the state of California, it seems.
Well, our voter turnout is so poor, it either says one of two things. A, we love our system, why get involved? Or B, we're so discouraged that we don't think we can make a difference. I think it's leaning towards B. So yeah. There's the irony. As more and more of us feel like our vote doesn't make a difference, and they're right. Americans are incredibly brilliant and intuitive. They know that it's a rigged system. And so until we can have a few saintly voices who will get there by using this private interest, but then turn on the private interest and advocate for public policy, finance positions, that's the only way we can break this cycle. So until we have a few enlightened politicians who can finally turn against a system that they perfected, that got them in the power in the first place, that's what it's going to take, and enlighten leaders like that, then it's going to be difficult to break the stranglehold of the business community over the politicians.
Well, this is just, I don't know, I'll just throw this question out there, but it's maybe a little bit off topic, but do you feel like the policies that are in place are driven by like short-sighted greed? Because it seems like, you know, that rising tide lifts all ships is really true. And you see it in other countries that have more social benefits for their citizens and free education and free healthcare and things like that. I mean, what do you think is driving these policies that are actually not supporting our population?
Sure, that's an easy one. I have relatives who live in Scandinavia, and I love talking to them. Those are the kind of safety nets that we need in this country, which is universal health care and free UCs and CSUs. I mean, again, my father was a World War II veteran. The only reason he launched out of the lower class because he got to go to USC and Stanford for free because of the GI Bill. We need a civilian GI Bill. But having said that, because we don't have those safety nets in this country, it's driven by the profit motive. The business community is not interested in making a contributions towards those areas. And remember, under our current healthcare system, it's a profit industry. It's a value system. Philosophically, the Scandinavians, who are way ahead of us, I would argue, have said no. Such a critical input for the human condition should never be surrendered to the profit margin. Unfortunately, we're not that enlightened yet. And the people are, but the politicians aren't, because again, the way for them to get in the power is to solicit revenues primarily from the business interests who are opposed to that kind of democratization and liberty.
Well, you're having this voter forum this Wednesday at 7 p.m. at the HSU Founders Hall, room 118, and that will be a chance for voters to express their enlightened views, maybe become enlightened, and hopefully figure out how to convince elected officials to become a little bit more enlightened too, I guess. So, Kevin, we're out of time, but I really appreciate you coming in and talking with us, and I hope you have a great turnout on Wednesday night.
My pleasure, and thank you, Claire, and thank you to the Humboldt community. We're looking forward to helping to educate one another and move forward with positive changes for our county, the state, and our country.